Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me, as always, a fine gentleman, now married gentleman, a proper gentleman over there in New York, effing city, Dan Rubenstein. How are you, sir?
Ty, it is a joy and pleasure, as always. I'm doing pretty well. It's a busy time, so we're recording this Wednesday evening. So
yeah.
The NBA draft is tomorrow night. Will you watch any of that, by the
nope.
way? Are you invested at all?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I am because I have to work during it for the day job. But it's sort of a hectic time because we've got all sorts of college football shows that we're planning and working on. And the season is actually not all that far away, Ty.
No, it's not.
It is late June. We're almost into July, which is conference media days and conversations begin in earnest. I saw that the magazines are out. Have you picked up any of those?
I haven't yet. And you know what? I haven't in a couple of years, to be perfectly honest. I've seen the Athlon work a couple of years running now because they've been kind enough to send it to us.
Get at me, Athlon, by the way. I have a new address. Get at me. Would love to see some Athlon materials.
I have not seen Phil Steele, though, in a couple of years.
So I haven't picked any of those up yet, but we're right there. And one of the things we like to do going into summer, and we have specific themed shows still planned out. I think we've got another How College Football Works episode under wraps in production, sort of figuring things out. We've got a specialized show with Bill Barnwell, our friend who covers the NFL at ESPN. We did the emo and pop punk show with him last year. We have a follow-up non-emo show.
Non-emo. Important.
But definitely
to
off topic.
Yes.
And we have the exhaustive and nerdy and ever so navel-gazing episode sort of dedicated to the history of the Solid Verbal, how it all happened. We still get tweets all the time, like when we ask for questions, like, how did you two come together?
My
like,
two favorite tweets
and
or emails are the ones where they mix you and I up, which happens all the time.
What's Dan's secret day job?
Right. And B, on a very personal note, the people who spell my name, I'm assuming incorrectly, but I can never quite tell because it has happened inadvertently, totally innocently in the past, where they spell Thai, T-H-A-I.
Is that true?
That is true.
Wow.
I get a couple of those a year, either via Twitter or email. And obviously, you know, that's not a major talking point as we get into the history of show that, again, we're going to do later on in July. But an important little side note, something that I appreciate.
I do have a follow-up from last week.
Okay.
Because, as you know, when you're married, it's a partnership, Ty.
It is.
It's communication. It's making sure you're on the same page. And because we are doing a show dedicated today to like summer love, summer crushes, kind of thing.
Summer love, Dan. You know what that's about, right?
I do know what that's about, Ty.
Yeah.
I've had many summer crushes. I no longer do. Just one.
Right.
But I do have breaking news, Ty.
Breaking news? Do you want me to play the sound?
If you have it at your
side. It's been a while. We have breaking news!
Now, I don't know what we are going to call her long-term in the way that we call your lovely wife, Kate, Solid Wife Kate.
Oh, are we doing this now?
But I do have permission.
Whoa! Whoa, 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 whoa!
Wow, double sound effect. It's the Solid Wife Rihanna.
How did I know you were going to go there?
No, my wife's name is Jody with an I. Jody with an I. And maybe we'll just always say Jody with an I, because I do get a little bit infuriated when I see J-O-D-Y.
Yeah.
But Jody with an I, she is from Chicago. She went to Michigan. She is much smarter and better looking than I am.
Yep.
And she still decided to marry me. And I don't think she knows how to listen to podcasts. So
that's probably for the best.
We're cool. We're cool. But yeah, named after Chicago Cub from the 80s, Jody Davis. And if you've ever listened to Andy Staples' show on Sirius XM, which maybe we don't have a lot of crossover, but every single time I'm on, Andy introduces me as Dan Rubenstein, SB Nation, The Solid Verbal. And I always, of course, think of Dan's, I guess, then girlfriend, Jody, because Andy met her. So he outs it on Sirius XM all the time. This is her debut here. It's Jody with an
Did it take a lot of convincing to get her to, you know, sign the waiver?
Not really.
No. Okay. Good.
No.
Good.
It was just like, I didn't say your name because I figured you didn't want to have it out there if you didn't want it. And she was like, nah, it's fine. It's just my name. So there it is.
I think I said Kate's name right out of the shoot.
You probably did.
And I'm not sure how that went over. I wasn't as courteous to ask her in advance. And yeah, we've come a long way since then. I've got 2 years on you in the marriage department. But
true.
Okay. So Kate and Jody now, the two respective solid spouses.
So tonight's show, it's about summer crushes in college football going into the 2017 season. So all of these people that we have crushes on are competing for second place.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay.
We did a show like this about a year ago. I went back and checked the tapes. And in that show, we had a bunch of other sound effects. And it's just kind of confusing. So we tried to keep it pretty straightforward. It also makes the editing process a little easier on you and I. But we're going to call this episode Summer Lovin'.
It's a very timely.
Very, very timely, because today, I believe, is actually the first day of summer. The summer solstice, excuse me.
Solstice, yeah.
Is upon us. And what we're doing, as you mentioned, is we're going through players, duos, coaches, teams, you name it, whatever. Things in college football, entities, people in college football that we've got a crush on now as we enter the 2017 season. Because as you mentioned, as we get now into July with conference weeks and whatnot, and certainly as we get into August and we do our previews and September as the season starts, things are going to start rolling along here pretty quickly. As memory serves, I think you and I only have about two or three more episodes that we have to figure out before the start of the college football season. The rest of them we've already sort of earmarked. We know what we're going to be talking about.
This is true.
And this is now one of those episodes as we now start to try and build for the 2017 season.
I have my own sound effect, by the way.
You do?
For the summer love. And yours is real innocent, like harkens back, you know, Greece in the 50s, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. You're a little bit more aggressive with it, Dan. But I like it.
Push it.
Do you want to go first? Who's your first summer crush here?
So my first summer crush, and we did not coordinate, so maybe we'll have crossovers.
That's what I was hoping that we might have, yeah.
And we're going to have to fight Quentin Flowers.
I thought about putting him on my list, Quentin Flowers.
Okay, so I went with a lot of guys that were, not a lot, but some that were sort of below the radar, because crushes is sort of from afar. We know like Bo Scarborough.
Right.
Everybody's got a crush on Bo Scarborough. Everybody, you know, there's a number of players that I look at, and I'm always about, you know, the quiet one in the corner. Like, hey, what's her deal?
Right.
So to me, Quentin Flowers definitely does not fit that, the quiet one in the corner, but still playing for USF, an American team, and not on the same sort of radar that, you know, quarterbacks such as maybe Sam Darnold might be heading into the season.
I have a crush on Sam Darnold. We're not going to do
that.
Right,
who cares?
Right.
Quentin Flowers, though, is a one-man wrecking crew, and if you watched USF at all last year under Willie Taggart, and I imagine it's going to be the same under Charlie Strong this year, everybody knows what's coming with the USF offense, or at least did last year, that, you know, they were going to be running sort of some Baylor stuff on the outside, some RPO stuff, and he was going to be he was a one-man first down, and it is such a joy to watch somebody take over the game, especially when, as a polished passer, it's not there. But in terms of just eating yards, nobody fills up quicker than Quentin Flowers. I love watching him.
Quentin Flowers came into bloom last year, Dan.
How dare you?
Came into bloom. Was fun to watch. We talked about him, you know, ad nauseum, to the extent that we could, as someone who wasn't playing in a Power 5 conference, but certainly he was notable. Willie Taggart had a pretty good team. Rushed for 1,500 yards and 18 touchdowns.
Yes.
Last year from the quarterback position. And then as a passer, threw for 24 more touchdowns. So to call him a one-man wrecking crew is definitely not a stretch. I'm very curious to see now where that system goes under Charlie Strong. And I think, as you correctly pointed out, I wouldn't expect that production to go down. I think he would only improve. Maybe a few tweaks here and there, but Quentin Flowers is going to be an exciting player. And I'm glad you put him on your list, because I almost put him on mine and then decided at the very end to leave him off.
And something important to realize is Sterling Gilbert is the new offensive coordinator at USF. And the system that he ran last year at Texas is pretty similar thematically to what USF did last year, with some obvious tweaks. But, you know, the history of him at Tulsa and Baylor and Texas, it'll be a very familiar scene watching USF next year, I think.
Sterling Gilbert has had mobile quarterbacks before in the past. He's found a good way to utilize them, and maybe we'll see some of those passing numbers go up for Flowers as well.
Yes, sir.
All right, while we're talking quarterbacks...
Oh, God.
Talk about my boy Eric Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
I told you on G-Chat, which apparently G-Chat's going away soon, RIP.
Oh, man.
I kind of have the nickname Grungy Eric Dungy stuck in my head, and I don't know why.
Okay.
I wonder if it's got something to do with our drum and fife, but I don't know if we've ever used the word grungy as it relates to the drum and fife.
Plays in the Northeast.
Here's what I like about Eric Dungy. He's at Syracuse, by the way. He's their starting quarterback. Only played 9 games last year, but in those 9 games, a 65% completion percentage, about 300 passing yards per game. He's fairly mobile. He's going to be in year 2 under Dino Babers, which is a wide open aired out system up there at Syracuse. He just seems grungy. He's got that fight in him. And I like that in my Syracuse quarterback.
He's from across the country. That was one of our like over unders for the season last year, is over under of total yards of something like 4,000 under Dino Babers. But year 2, I think you're absolutely right. I think he's going to put in an even bigger year if he can stay healthy, and has the receivers last year were really good. I think in year 2 of the system, I think they're going to excel. I don't think a bowl is out of the question with this team.
It's not out of the question, but I'm not going to lie. They've got a run of games here from late September through early November where they go to LSU. They got Pitt at home, Clemson at home, at Miami, and at Florida State. That's a tough little stretch there. All of those games could conceivably be losses. And that's not even counting the other tweener games on their ACC schedule, like at NC State.
Okay.
It's not even counting at Louisville, which happens later on in the year. So I think it's a bit of a stretch for them to get the 6. But, you know, ACC being what it is, you can't ever fully count it out.
I think that's a good crush, Ty. I like Eric Dungy a lot. We've talked about him as he made his way in sort of out of nowhere from Portland to Syracuse.
Where are we going next?
All right, you ready?
Oh, shit.
There it is.
Yeah. Feeling the vapors, Dan. Feeling the vapors.
I'm going to go with both of the head coaches at the service academies with the biggest rivalry, because there are obviously more than 2 service academies.
So but Army,
Ken Niumatalolo, Army, Navy, their coaches specifically. Ken Niumatalolo at Navy, Jeff Monken at Army. And we don't generally focus a ton on these schools during the season unless they're playing somebody that perhaps has a bigger place. I don't think bigger place is the appropriate term, but, gets more attention in college football. But, you know, playing in a Power 5 conference. And what Ken Niumatalolo has done at Navy, and I know people are quick to sort of pigeonhole the sort of option, flexbone, whatever systems into a very specific category. But Tom Herman this offseason was the guy. And Ken Niumatalolo was the guy who beat up on the guy this past year at Navy. Ken Niumatalolo beats Notre Dame, not inconsistently. And Jeff Monken, what he's done at Army and getting the cadets at Army over the top against Navy to end the season, overhauling that program. If you haven't read Stephen Godfrey from SB Nation, he embedded with Army leading up to that game, and he has changed recruiting. He has changed the way that program operates with the challenges that both of those schools have year in and year out. I won't pretend like I have any sort of first person knowledge of what they go through, but it's certainly a very different experience. I love that both of those schools, like, who wants to play? The week before you know, Notre Dame plays Navy, no matter how much better and more talented Notre Dame is. And I guarantee you, Ty, I'm not specifically picking on Notre Dame in this instance beyond them being a much bigger football powerhouse. If Navy is playing whoever in a bowl game, if Navy is playing Houston this year, Major Applewhite, last year, Tom Herman, every single one of those coaches in the week leading up is like, well, shit. Well, damn it all. How do we... I love that both of those coaches at this point, but specifically Neil Matalolo, has gotten Navy to the point where they just stress people out no end. And I love that. I think it's worth recognizing. And look, 2015, the best quarterback perhaps ever, most prolific quarterback in Keenan Reynolds for Navy. Yeah. And what do they do in 2016? They beat Notre Dame in Houston.
They beat Notre Dame. I mean, the thing about Navy, what's been amazing, they're not like a pushover.
Well, people, that was the specific criticism, right?
Specifically, as a Notre Dame fan, oh, they play the service academies. Well, you don't want to play that service academy because they've actually got a lot of recent success against Notre Dame. Yeah. They're a pretty good football team. You mentioned what they did to Houston. This is a good program that he's built. They've been consistent year in and year out. And oh, by the way, Army made a bowl game for the first time in forever last year.
Mm-hmm.
They've turned that program around as well and started building something there. So it's cool to see that happen.
May I ask you a follow-up question? Because I can relate. During the Oregon coaching search, I was looking at the coaches across college football who've had relatively consistent success, and I talked myself into, if Oregon hires Ken Niumatalolo, I'd be pretty pumped about it. Just because of his personal reputation, the success he's had, and could he translate that on a bigger level, I had talked myself into it.
You did. I remember that.
Notre Dame is a very different place than Oregon, but academic restrictions, not unlike what the Naval Academy. Annapolis is a ridiculously good place to, you know, academically. Could you see yourself talking yourself into Ken Niumatalolo and what he's done?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
And I would love that.
It's entirely personal with me.
I would full on, a leaf would turn over for me for Notre Dame if they had hired Ken Niumatalolo.
No, wouldn't do it system. For me. I can't get into the offense. I get bored. I get bored out of my mind watching the offense. Now, when they run it well, they're obviously very good. They're very effective. They've run it very well against Notre Dame. But I get bored out of my mind watching it.
Really?
I do, yeah. I do.
See, I like it. I mean, but consider running it with players, Notre Dame athletes.
Yeah, with
Notre
like
Dame,
Josh Adams and Mike McGlinchey. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a different system. My turn, Dan.
I'm ready.
We were talking quarterbacks last time. I got other quarterbacks here on my list that I won't go into right now. Let's talk about my boy, Saquon Barkley.
Who's better? Now, I don't know if anybody is.
Listen, I know I just made the goofy voice when I talked about Sam Darnold, and Saquon by no means is under the radar. But for me, Saquon's got a little bit of a local connection. Not only does he go to my alma mater, Penn State, he's also from the town across the river from me, originally from Copley, Pennsylvania, went to Whitehall High School,
mm-hmm.
one of our rivals in back in the day in high school. 5.5 yards per carry last year, over 1,400 yards, 18 touchdowns on the ground. The line is improving. It's been improving the last couple of years. The offense clearly found an extra gear with whatever Joe Moorhead figured out after their loss to Michigan. And I am just terrified that a freak injury could derail this whole thing because he's a running back and that would be just the luck. But he's got moves that remind me of like a weird hybrid between Reggie Bush and LeSean McCoy. He gets up to top speed quickly. He runs with power. I think he's a guaranteed top 5, top 10 pick, provided he stays healthy. And he should be able to do incredible things now in year 2 under Moorhead, hopefully with Trace McSorley improving as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the only one who has a crush on this guy. It's not a secret crush. You could argue the entire NFL and Big Ten have giant overt crushes on Saquon Barkley. But I think provided he stays healthy and the offense continues to improve, it's going to be a monster, mega Heisman-worthy caliber season for him. And I'm just damn excited. I am damn excited to see what he can do now.
Who was the last Penn State running back that got you this excited? Evan Royster.
No, I mean,
business decision, Silas Red.
You got to go back a pretty good way as to like Kejana Carter. Curtis Enos to really find a running back that I think had this kind of hype headed into the season. Austin Scott was interesting, but he never materialized for Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been a while since you had a real body of work to go on entering a new football season. And he's the goods, man. I mean, if you've watched him for any period of time or just a few downs at a time, you know that this kid's got the moves, he's got the speed, he's got the vision, and he's a unique talent. So there's a lot of reason for optimism there.
Yeah, slowed down a little bit back half of the season last year, and he was obviously beat up a little bit. But if he's able to do it over the course of that full season, because we saw some of those runs against Ohio State, against Iowa, he had an enormous day, and USC sort of was the cherry on top of a terrific season. But yes, the ability is there. It'd be great to see it week in and week out a little bit more this year.
Sure.
But that's nitpicking. He's so great.
I think they'll figure out a way to be more consistent across the board on offense, because they did kind of shift gears a bit about midway through.
Right.
Which obviously worked in their favor. I'll counterbalance the obvious Saquon Barkley selection with another crush of mine.
Go off the radar.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who have heard of Cam Akers at Florida State, but Cam Akers is a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Was, depending where you looked, either the top running back or number two running back behind Najee Harris, mm-hmm. who went to Alabama. But Cam Akers is 5'11", 215. He's built like an absolute truck. He accounted for, get this, 13,243 total yards and 149 touchdowns in high school as a dual threat quarterback. Cam Akers now goes to Florida State. He is the heir apparent to the running back position that is left vacant by Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, he's going to be a guy who can step in and have a monster season right out of the chute. People are very excited about Cam Akers. And unless you follow recruiting very closely, unless you're a Florida State or ACC fan, or maybe a fan of football in the Southeast region, you might not know the name yet. My hunch is that you will soon, because he's a good one.
It's funny, your terminology was what it was, because when people ask me, because obviously you're way in Pennsylvania, like, what's Ty like? I say, right off the top, built like an absolute truck.
That's right. Thank you.
Built like a semi. He is a Mack truck. Cam Akers is going to be fantastic. And there's been some turnover at Florida State, but I still think he is going to be in huge shoes to fill. I don't even think we fully appreciated what Dalvin Cook was and had the ability to do for Florida State, and was himself a one-man wrecking crew. But Cam Akers should jump in and immediately become one of the best, you know, dozen or so running backs in the country, I would say. Or at least the physical talent is there to become so.
If you go and watch any of his highlights from high school,
mm-hmm.
it's clear that he's a man among boys. We've had this discussion before, Dan. Those players did not exist at my high school.
Same. Now they do, but same.
Filling in for big shoes, Dalvin Cook, who got drafted to the NFL and was a Heisman contender for a while. Brought a lot of excitement to Florida State. I think Cam Akers has a chance to be better. I'm excited to see him out there.
Fair point. I have a crush, because we're going to stay with the sort of freshman sensation theme. I'm going to go with what may have been the best freshman in the country last year, but because of coaching changes, I hope he does not get lost in the mix. I imagine he is a preseason All-American. So again, I am now looking at the prettiest girl in the class, but...
We need the music. We need the music.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
So, as a defensive lineman in 2008, Ty, I'm seeing this. I was looking up freshman defensive linemen and what defensive linemen and what they're able to do. Alden Smith for Missouri in 2009, 19 tackles for a loss.
Yeah,
that's pretty ridiculous for a freshman. Roosevelt Nix for Kent State, 20 tackles for a loss in 2010 as a freshman. So, the 20 tackles for a loss in terms of productivity for a freshman defensive lineman, nobody really in 2011. 2012, same. Not a lot of freshmen just making that immediate impact. Devontae Fields for TCU right around then had a nice year. Ed Oliver for Houston.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
22 and a half tackles for a loss for Houston. You saw what he was able to do, double teamed, whatever, against Louisville in that just complete destruction on the Thursday night game. What that that Houston defense was able to do against the Louisville Cardinals. Ed Oliver is that damn good. The guy who led the country in tackles for a loss last year had 23 and a half. Ed Oliver finished with 22 and a half in 13 games. Hassan Reddick, taken in the first round, same number.
Yeah.
Just in terms of what the production level of what Ed Oliver did as a wee freshman who has yet to even figure everything out as a dominant college defensive lineman. I really hope he doesn't get lost in the shuffle this year. Obviously, every offense that plays against the Cougars is going to pay extra attention to him. But my God, you want to mention Cam Akers as a man amongst boys going into the season as a true freshman, as a true sophomore. Ed Oliver is a titan amongst boys.
You can make a fairly solid case that Ed Oliver is the best college football player in 2017.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where, like, after Josh Rosen's freshman year, they're like, well, in 2 years, he'll be the number one overall pick. And there's, you know, you can make the case that Dexter Lawrence is that guy right now of, like, way down the line, he's going to be number one overall pick. Ed Oliver is right there, just in terms of how versatile he is on the line. I'm scared of him sitting on the 14th floor of a building 2,000 miles away from him. He's so good.
Shall we move on?
Next.
My next crush, admittedly, is on my Casper mattress, Dan.
Oh, good one. You could go in a real weird direction with this one.
So they sent us mattresses. I don't know if we've publicly disclosed it on the show. Mm-hmm.
They did.
I had an issue with my mattress before when the solid wife and I moved into our home. She had this old memory foam mattress that was very comfortable. It was more comfortable than my old mattress, but after sleeping on it for about a year and a half, 2 years, I started getting lower back pain, shoulder pain. I just thought I was an old man. Well into my 30s now, I'm thinking, all right, this is how it starts, right? But then I read the internet, and the internet said that, no, actually, a mattress can cause you a fair amount of bodily harm.
I was looking at the internet.
You wouldn't think that it could. You're just sleeping. But as it goes, yeah, a mattress can do a lot of harm to your body. Then the Casper showed up. And first off, it was like magic when you pop this thing open because it comes in like a vacuum sealed bag. It's a heavy box, but it comes in a box off a truck. You pull it into the home, you push it up the stairs, you pop the seal in like this vacuum sealed bag, and the thing inflates. I don't know how they do it, but somehow it inflates. You have a fully functioning, fully sized mattress within about 15 seconds. And I laid on this thing and it was a much, much different experience. It's been a much different experience ever since then. And no lie, I wouldn't lie to anyone out there because we're all friends. The shoulder pain that I got in my right shoulder has gone away and the back pain that I was getting has gone away. So it would seem to me that the 4.8 out of 5 rating that it gets across its 30,000 or so global reviews, that seems to be accurate, maybe even a little bit low. Some of the reviews that have been a little bit more eloquent than me have been that it's like, quote, sleeping on a brioche, and quote, like being cradled by the tinkling of a baby laughing in the moonlight, which I have no idea what that means, but Casper's got an award-winning design. It's continuously developed using feedback from nearly 500,000 customers. They also only sell directly to consumers, which means that they can eliminate the commission-driven inflated prices that you get with any kind of middleman. And buying is easy. You just go online.
Oh, yeah.
They'll deliver it to your door in a compact box, whether you live in the U.S., U.K., or Canada. Free delivery, free returns, and you get a 100-night risk-free trial. So if you're maybe on the brink, you think you want a new mattress, check it out. You and I have them. We love them. Other people have gotten them. They've emailed in. They've written in to let us know that they like their Casper as well. You can get a chance to just try it out before you fully commit. We do spend about a third of our lives on the mattress, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to have one that works for you. Right now, you can get $50 towards any mattress you purchase by visiting Casper.com and using the code VERBAL, V-E-R-B-A-L. V-E-R-B-A-L is your offer code. $50 off any mattress purchase. Dan, terms and conditions do apply.
Ty, I've always said sleep is the best drug there is. Go buy the best drugs. Come on.
Back to college football.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about another crush of mine.
What do you have?
Let's talk about Derwin James.
Wow, really, really going for the big names.
Yeah, not a crush until recently. Got hurt in two games last year, but a beast against the run, great in the pass coverage. Another guy, probably a top five pick if he doesn't get hurt again. Because he's versatile. Another Florida State guy, by the way. I love Florida State this year, and I hope I don't jinx them.
Wow.
I love their players. But he's versatile. You can't even scheme against him because he's just all over and everywhere at once. Really good player from the safety position. He's an obvious one. Another one that's not so obvious to me, also at the safety position. Have we talked enough about Jordan Whitehead on this show?
Probably not, because Pitt's pass defense was not great last year.
Jordan Whitehead plays for Pitt. There is some talk that they're going to move him from boundary safety to field safety, which,
ooh,
if you're playing along at home,
ooh,
doesn't mean a whole lot. I don't know. I haven't followed up to see if that's a change that's going to stick or not.
You might need to set a Google alert for boundary safety.
I might have to do that.
Yeah.
But if it's a thing, if it's not a thing, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Might mean a little less contact for him in the run game. Might keep him a little safer out there. But he is a ferocious defender across the board, Dan. Not just regular ferocious. I've been working up a little thing here. I'm going to call him four-syllable ferocious this season, Dan.
Four-syllable ferocious.
Yeah, okay. Jordan Whitehead. Four-syllable ferocious.
Ed Oliver. Yeah.
That would qualify. There are a lot of four-syllable ferocious guys out there.
That's true. Are you going to say four-syllable ferocious every single time we talk about Pitt's defense? I don't think we're going to be talking about Pitt's defense that much this year.
I might just have to get four drum beats, like,
okay,
something that signifies it without actually having to say it. It's okay. Not the easiest thing in the world to say. But if there's anybody in college football this year outside of Ed Oliver who I think represents this four-syllable ferocious attitude, it would be Jordan Whitehead. I'm a fan.
Wow, you're buying low. By the way, if I may jump in with your previous crush, I announced a crush for Derwin James last year.
You did, yeah.
And I just feel like pod brother to pod brother.
It would have been...
Not lay off, but if you had come to me and said, Dan, listen.
Yeah.
I can't get Derwin out of my mind. And is it cool if I pursue this college football crush? I don't want to step on any toes. I know that you were sort of on the Derwin James train before.
I knew you were into that, but you just got married. So I was assuming I had the green light. But if that's frowned upon, then I don't want to create friction in this relationship.
I just would have appreciated the courtesy, Ty. I would have appreciated the courtesy.
I apologize. I apologize, Dan.
I'm going to go with a group of players, and I'm going to stick with the ACC. Your ACC theme is very strong because it's one of the more interesting conferences this year. I'm going to go with the entire NC State Wolfpack defensive line.
Nope, doesn't count. You didn't play the music. Thank you.
Oh, come on.
Doesn't count. I would like a courtesy if you're not going to play the music so that we can at least give a proper introduction to some of these crushes.
Okay. They're getting good push up front.
My God, don't disrespect the Wolfpack like that.
Continue. That's on me. And honestly, the name of the best defensive lineman for NC State could not be better because it is Bradley Chubb. It is Bradley Chubb. And
that
they're
really
so
fits
good.
The billing for a summer loving titled show.
When you look at what ACC defenses were able to do on the ground last year up front against some very talented offenses, and these are very talented defenses we're talking about. After Louisville, it was not Florida State, it was not Clemson, it was not Virginia Tech, it was not Miami. It was NC State, who was but a field goal away from beating Clemson. NC State pretty much all year long was, and I'm going to go with the big D in talking about Chubb, Ty.
Yeah, please.
Dominant. Up front, and should be once again Darian Roseborough, Contavious Street. Dave Huxtable, in a short time for NC State, has built that defensive front into something that's probably one of the best five nationally. They're going to be so good this year, and I can't wait to watch NC State, which I don't say that often, Ty.
No.
I do not say it all that often, but this group of players is special, and I'm very excited.
I feel like we've been waiting.
I've got a Chubb.
We've been waiting. Thank you. We've been waiting to say that for a while about NC State. We've been waiting for it to kind of materialize.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Duren's a good coach. He's been a good coach for a while. It's just it hasn't been there yet. He's been trying.
They're
to
in that middle range, NC State in the ACC. It's tough.
So I'm excited.
As we should. We both should be. Yeah. Want me to go with another crush, or do you want to go back?
No, go ahead. Okay. I did two. You do two.
All right. I'm going to go. Do I have to play the music? No.
Well, it's inferred. Here.
We're going to push way out west. We're going to go to Colorado State, which was one of the more entertaining teams, if you remember, last November, the bowl season. Mike Bobo has done a very good job offensively with this team. They return their quarterback, Nick Stevens, who's great, but that is not my crush. My crush is Michael Gallup,
okay,
who is maybe one of, going into the season, I think he might be the most unheralded receiver in college football. He's probably a top 7-10 receiver. When you look at what big receivers in the country, outside of Zay Jones, who was great for ECU last year, in November, to close out the season, and this was not against insignificant opponents for Colorado State. We're not talking about the bottom of the Mountain West. San Diego State, Colorado State beat them in a shootout. We're talking huge games against the best teams. Michael Gallup was ridiculous, had more yards than D.D. Westbrook, had more yards than, Corey Davis at Western Michigan. Huge, I think the second or third best November, just in terms of pure yardage, which is not an exact science, but he was so good, Michael Gallup, and should be appreciated this year. I think he was a JC transfer for Colorado State, but as we are becoming more aware of players at schools of all sizes, whether they're, you know, Mountain West teams, whether FCS teams, whatever the case may be, talent is talent. Corey Davis was the first receiver off the board in the NFL draft. Michael Gallup is that talent. So good, so wow. Fun to watch.
Okay, great.
So how about that, Ty?
I like it. Very good. Let's do a couple more here.
What do you got?
I got two or three more on my list that I want to discuss here. Cameron Smith, USC.
Yeah.
Cameron Smith,
injury-plagued, but really good.
Injury-plagued, really good. It just seems like he was involved in every single play when he was on the field. Just a guy who's everywhere. A linebacker for USC, a younger linebacker. I never felt like he got his fair shake because there was so much else going on that USC team. Just kind of faded into the background. But I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. Again, I'm excited about all these guys. I've said it about 100 times now.
Right.
I just hope he stays healthy.
Yeah, you're right about the attention thing, because Porter Gustin had a very nice year last year. Rasheem Green, I would argue, broke through on the defensive line for USC. And certainly having somebody like Adoree Jackson back there. Biggie Marshall is the new number one corner for the Trojans this year. So hard to stand out on a team with so many standouts playing in that a very difficult Clancy Pendergast defense to play against. But yes, Cam Smith, in terms of the playmaking ability, we saw it a couple of years ago when he had, what, two or three interceptions in a game, returning him to the house. A huge talent. I think that's a good pick.
The other one here that I'll list is, what about Blake Barnett?
You want
to talk about going off the radar.
That's difficult.
It's a difficult one.
Not a lot of footage.
Virtually no footage to go on, but Blake Barnett, highly touted quarterback, bounced around a little bit in his recruitment, eventually landed at Alabama. I believe won the Elite 11. Before going on to be the number one overall quarterback in his recruiting class, landed at Alabama, and just got logjammed behind Jalen Hurts. Cooper Bateman was in the mix. They had an embarrassment of riches at the quarterback position in Tuscaloosa. Blake Barnett landed on his feet at ASU, bumped over to Arizona State. And he's going to get a chance now to show what he can do in a wide-open system under Todd Graham. Lord knows that ASU has not had trouble in recent years putting up points and showcasing talent at the quarterback position. So you would assume that they're going to find a way to utilize his arm in the best way possible. He will have a chance to make an impact this season and show what he's really worth on the college stage. If he's anywhere as good as many believed coming out of high school, he should have an opportunity right now to put up big numbers. And quite honestly, given where ASU was a year ago, I think any improvement would be a pretty big improvement. They got to get better defensively. But Blake Barnett's going to have a chance to go in there and make an impact. So I've had a crush on him since high school, and I feel very weird saying that.
Wow. Okie doke.
Very weird saying that. I've been holding out hope for a while. And I think this is the year it finally materializes.
This is like you having a crush on somebody that you met on like chat roulette.
Yeah.
You've never really hung out with them. You never met them in person. You've never really seen like their midsection. You've only seen like their shoulders and head, like, well, she seems great.
Yep. Yeah.
This is
a literal high school sweetheart right here.
You are. It's a Hail Mary of sorts right now, because we don't know anything about Blake Barnett and his ability in big games, basically, at this point.
I'm intrigued by the recruiting scouting reports that I read when he was recruited and signed on, and where he had a flirt with what, Oregon and maybe Notre Dame.
And he's then committed to Notre Dame. Yeah.
Landed at Alabama. So, let's see what he can do. I just want to see what he can do. Put him out there.
Oh, man. This is you getting so excited for a setup, for a blind date.
This is me jinxing Blake Barnett is what this is.
That's what it sounds like to me. I was surprised to hear you say that. Not much to go on.
This is me jinxing him.
I'm gonna go with my final crush, if that's okay with you.
Please.
Okay.
Get that music, yeah.
Oh, man. Push it. I'm going to go with a Kansas player, Ty. I'm going to go with a Kansas player. Dorrance Armstrong. I really should have looked up how you pronounce his name. Either way, in the highlights I've watched, in the sort of very short bursts of Kansas football that I've watched over the past couple years, he is a complete standout. He is somebody who has been so productive and has gotten, if you read, I think it was our friend Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports 1, doing really cool work talking to David Beatty, who was the coach that recruited this past year's number one overall pick, Miles Garrett, Texas A&M, and sees a lot of similarities. And the production has been very similar. The build is very similar. And for Kansas to have a defensive end in 2017 who pops in the way that Armstrong pops is a testament to both the recruiting and development and the fact that Kansas football is coming along. And I appreciate that, Ty, because I want a wide open Big 12. That's what I want. I want excitement every week. I don't want the separation of just like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. I want every week to be at least fun. And Dorrance Armstrong is one of those guys who I hope, as Kansas has almost beaten TCU recently, is one of those guys to make the Big 12 a little bit more fun this year. And he has been so good for the Jayhawks. I'm excited to see what he could do, because we're talking about a first round talent in next year's draft. So
from Kansas,
the ability and production is there. Absolutely. From Kansas, I'm excited.
Awesome.
Kansas, Colorado State, NC State, Service Academies, Ty. I look for the corner of that classroom.
I got one more. Okay. We've given no love to tight ends in college football.
It's true.
Let's talk about my boy, Mike Gesicki.
Hands. Yeah, Gesicki. That's a good one.
Hands
two
Gesicki.
Penn Staters.
Two Penn Staters. I'm a little bit of a homer. But okay. Mike Gesicki did not get much love at all until people started realizing that he was having a hell of a season for Penn State in 2016. Quasi-vertical threat at tight end, averaged something like 14 yards per catch. Big guy. Caught a lot of key passes for Penn State in clutch situations.
Mm-hmm.
Scored, I think, in each of his last three games, something like that. Was really big in the clutch for Trace McSorley. A big target is something that McSorley is going to need to start the season because Chris Godwin went to the NFL. He still has receivers left over, but it helps to have that safety net and a good tight end who can catch, who can run the seam, who just finds a way to get open in Mike Gesicki. He's another guy who could get drafted, provided things continue to improve for him now as we head into 2017. I think he's on tap for a big season as well. They just didn't realize what they had until later in the year last year. And Gesicki's a guy who I think stands to benefit a great deal from another year under Joe Moorhead.
Hands Gesicki.
That's right, baby.
Another real weird term that you have decided to roll with, and I appreciate it.
Got to start getting into midseason form here, Dan.
I can't wait.
On that note.
Yes.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Talk more college football. As Dan mentioned, as we've mentioned here the last couple weeks running now, we got a bunch of good stuff in the queue. Please do go on out to solidverbal.com and sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter will be your first line of defense if you're looking to get all the updates on when we're going to be dropping some of this stuff.
If
you're into the live show, there might be a t-shirt on the horizon at some point.
There is a summer shirt, yeah.
So we got a bunch of exciting stuff in the queue here go on out to solidverbal.com, sign up for the newsletter of intent. We won't spam you. We'll only let you know when big things are breaking. Mm-hmm. Also follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all those places. All the usuals. You can get updates from Dan and I. Daniel.
Mm.
Fun show. Fun show.
A lot of crushes, Ty.
A lot of crushes. Weird show, but a fun show.
Spreading our intellectual college football seed across the land.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
For that, go over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein. For myself, Ty Hildebrand here in Eastern PA. That's all for this week. We'll catch you next week. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.